live and local. It's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Kyle Draper is back today, and he's brought with him a lot of breaking news. We got unfortunate news earlier this show that Sasha's got a turned ankle, and he's going to be reevaluated in a week. And we also got news we just shared with you moments ago. Jim Harbaugh is a new coach of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Look out, AFC. Two big stories, yeah. We got 2 hours left to go.
Yeah.
Can't handle all this breaking news.
I did get excited, as I said, when you said breaking news from the Kings. I thought, here we go. Is it Jeremy Grant? Is it Kyle Kuzma? Oh, I hope it's not, but that would be something. But no, an unfortunate injury. Sorry, Emmy on the chat.
Yeah, Emmy's our Sasha correspondent.
Yes.
Our Sasha whisperer.
And it's especially unfortunate because he'd been playing so well. And it's especially unfortunate about Sasha because the Kings here with this road trip. Tipping off tomorrow night. And as I said earlier, I don't know how you feel, Kyle. To me, the toughest thing for this trip, as far as the Kings are concerned, is just the number of games where it's every other day except for two back-to-backs. Between now and the All-Star break, they play Thursday, then Saturday, Monday, then Wednesday, then Friday, then Saturday, then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then you're at the break. So there's just not a lot of time there for this team to catch its breath.
Yeah, it's one after another, and, you know, when you look at this schedule, and I broke it down, and we looked at it, I think it was the other day, you know, maybe two games you're going to be favored in, like at Golden State. I don't think you'll be favored in that one. At Dallas, at Memphis, maybe, and then at Chicago, but Cleveland's playing well. Miami now, they got Terry Rozier. That's going to – Dallas has played decent. Golden State's always tough. Indiana, Tyrese probably will be back and able to play in that game. And so this is a tough seven-game stretch. And the problem, too, is I don't care what people say. It's easier to play and travel to warm-weather cities. Mm. You're playing in Indiana, Chicago, and Cleveland in January and February. You hop off that plane at 1 o'clock in the morning, and it's snow on the ground, and it's cold out. You got the half hour, but, like, that does something to you, you know? And so this is a tough road trip, and I think this could make or break the Kings season. Like I mentioned earlier, you go 5-2, you go to 29, and what would that be? 20? That's pretty darn good. But if you go to 2-5,
that's interesting.
It could be,
so
you know.
You think this could make or break their season?
And not because of who they are. I'm talking about the Western Conference standings. When you look at it, this is the toughest part of the schedule in terms of the road trip, in terms of seven games on the road. But I think the entire month of February is going to make or break the Kings' season. Because you do this road trip, then you come home. You got Detroit. Okay. Could beat Detroit. Denver. Oklahoma City. Phoenix. Denver. Then you got San Antonio. L.A. Miami. Mm-hmm. Denver. Mm-hmm. Minnesota. So this next month, starting with this road trip, can make or break your season.
Oklahoma City now, technically, they have the same record as Minnesota, but they're the one seed as
of
right now. OKC 1, Minnesota 2, Denver 3, Clippers 4, New Orleans 5. Did you see what New Orleans did last night?
No, I missed. I didn't check.
They put up, 149?
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
With Zion playing point forward?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
And then
I did
Phoenix is 6th.
That's what I'm
saying.
They
won 6 in a row.
This
Kings
is
at 7 right now.
This is a really, really difficult schedule. And you know, I say make or break because hopefully – this team can get on a roll. You bank up some wins. Like I said, you go 5-2. Man, you're feeling good about yourself. But when you look at the Western Conference, look at 5-11.
Mm-hmm.
Separated by five games. Like, a 3-game losing streak at this point, a 4-game losing streak could send you from 7th to 10th or 11th right now. And so that's why I think this is an incredibly important stretch. And it starts tomorrow. You got to beat Golden State tomorrow.
What do you think about how well-positioned they are to have a good trip, to keep this trip from ruining their season.
If I'm being honest, which I try to be on this show, I'm worried. I'm worried about this trip because they have not been playing their best basketball as of late. Now, if they had won three or four in a row feeling good, yes. But the talk around the Sacramento Kings right now isn't about basketball. It's about De'Aaron Fox talking with the media. It's about trade deadline stuff. Like, I worry if all this negative chatter or, you know, drama, as we talked about earlier, is affecting the team on the floor. And so that's why I'm worried about this road trip. You know, Katie was on the Carmichael, Dave, and Jason Ross show earlier talking about how this could be a good thing, getting on the road, getting away from all the talk, bonding with each other, growing as a team. That's how I hope it plays out. But I am worried about this road trip.
Yeah, I understand that. And I know Katie, having played, would know about that to a degree that I wouldn't. But to me right now, that doesn't apply. This team has not been able to defend home court. And that's been one of their goals this year, right? That's a point of emphasis. And they have not been able to defend home court. So if we're going to try to spin that into, well, getting out on the road, maybe that's a good thing. Yeah, maybe. But still, we're ignoring a larger problem here, that they have not been able to take advantage of opportunities. Thank goodness they hung on and beat the Hawks. I thought it was really interesting the way Malik Monk phrased it after the game. You know, Malik being Malik, he's going to tell you exactly what he's thinking. And he said, yeah, we kept our foot to their necks. And he said they made a run. And he said, we didn't fold like we usually do.
He said, like we usually do.
Yeah, wow. we could fight in a play that, and, you know, of late, he's been exactly right.
Well, that's one thing about Malik. He's going to be brutally honest at times. And he's right. They have folded. Milwaukee, Phoenix, you know, they folded up against Indiana, you know, without Tyrese. And that's been a concern. And that's why I think I'm so concerned about this trip. And I said it the other day. I feel like we're fragile right now. I feel like, you know, it can go either way. The scales can tip either way. Do we have the talent to be good? Yes. To be a top six team, in my opinion, yes. But we haven't played like that. And now you're starting to see, you know, the drama. You're starting to see, you know, the chatter outside the organization. Fans, you know, frustrated and everything. That's why I think it can go either way. You know, when we were talking the other day about Sacramento and this Kings, you know, I was talking about, excuse me, just the fragility of the franchise right now, the team. And that's why winning against Atlanta, we needed that feel-good win, and we got that.
Mm-hmm. Here is Malik, by the way, after the win over the Atlanta Hawks.
It was great, man. Basketball, the game of runs, and they made their run. And we usually fold when another team make the run and let them all the way back in it. And like you said, we didn't fold. We kept our foot on their necks tonight and finally finished the game how we're supposed to.
Yeah, we usually fold. Yeah. To me, it's just it's not really reasonable to expect this team to start playing significantly better defense and unless they make a move. And if they do, yes. But I think that's one reason they seem so fragile. It's one reason that they let other teams back into games. It all goes hand in hand with the fact that they just are not a very good defensive team. Other teams know that, and it's hard to impose your will on the other team when you can't stop them.
Yeah. You know, it's, and I think Domantas Sabonis mentioned it last week after a loss, you know, it's hard to get out and run when you're taking the ball out of the net all the time. And, you know, they have to be better defensively, no doubt about it.
And I don't think it is a lack of effort or focus or all that stuff.
What do you think it is then? Just the lack of personnel?
Yeah. Was it Adelman or Elston Turner used to say, it's hard to be a good defensive team when you don't have good defensive players. Mm.
You can wish and hope and all that, but if you don't have the actual horses to do it, it's hard to get it done. I hear you. But we've seen at times, that's what's so frustrating. We've seen at times, you know, a lot of times, and I was talking to my son's varsity coach. My son plays freshman. He was talking about.
Give me a shout out.
Yeah. Come on, man. Why are you putting me on the spot like that?
Okay,
you
know? I'm sorry.
Out at Vista del Lago. And we were talking about, to, you know, Malik's point that he said, the runs. You know, a lot of times what happens is a team will go on a run, and this is the same thing at Vista del Lago at the high school level, my son's freshman team, and I was thinking the same thing with the Kings. When a team goes on a run, who's our run stopper? Like, a lot of times when a team goes on a run, we just let it happen. We don't counterpunch. We don't hit back. And so to Malik's point that he said, you know, usually we fold and let we just let teams go on a run, and it is what it is. No, you got to stop that run somehow. Who's our run stopper? De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Sabonis, somebody got to say enough is enough. We can't let an 8-0 run go to 14-2, go to 16-4, and that's what's been happening. And to the point of the other night, Atlanta went on their run, cut it to 9, but Sacramento was able to stem that.
There's a player that everybody, and I think you and I included, I think we've talked about this guy, everyone agrees he would be a great fit for the Kings defensively, okay, and he might be that stopper. And we finally, for the first time, have found out his team is saying, this is what it would take to pry him away. So we'll tell you all about that. Bottom of the hour, we have that coming up. And up next, De'Aaron Fox may be an Olympian. So why has he been so glum? Next with the Drive Guys, Sactown Sports.
For the final time in the regular season, the Sacramento Kings and Golden State Warriors collide.
Accelerates front court, gives to Lyles on the run, into the lane, drops to Herter, to McGee. Crank it up, throw it down, big fella. JaVale McGee with a full windup and a two-hand rip-a-roo.
Join the G-Man for the call Thursday at 7 as the Kings and Warriors square off from San Francisco on your home of the Kings, Sactown Sports and SactownSports.com.
The Drive Guys powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
Woo! Calm before the storm. Kings going out on the road. Kyle Draper going out on the road at some point, right? I know you were looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Super Bowl Sunday in Oklahoma City?
Unbelievable, man. Like, Adam Silver, I got to get him on line one. The problem with that trip, too, is I think we'll be in the air while the game is going on. That's what's so upsetting. I think it's a noon game or 1 o'clock. By the time we get to the airport and on the plane.
Let me tell you something.
Oh.
The commissioner's doing you a favor.
Tell me what.
Because you'll be up in the air. Oh, I can't watch the 49ers just pulling the wings off the Ravens. You don't want to watch that.
I tell you what. You know what's so crazy? Somehow, when the Niners lose while I'm in midair, I'm going to emerge with a Lamar Jackson jersey like, like that as I hop off the plane. That's
I'm not saying anything because I want to make sure we have that recorded. We have a clean sound bite.
That's my boy Lamar. My guy. First of all, the Niners got to make it there. As I just want to
Well, sure.
And they got to make it there. Yeah. Don't count your chickens
before
they hatch.
Watch out.
Big bad Lions, baby.
You with all your talk about great quarterbacks, and you're telling me Jared Goff is going to beat the 49ers? That you're all about. You got to have a great quarterback to get to the Super Bowl.
Goff and Purdy are about the same level. They're about even. In my book, Jared Goff's had a hell of a season.
Mm-hmm. Why are you giving me that? Yes. I didn't think he's your type of quarterback. He doesn't have that pedigree.
No, he's going against
the
Niners.
He did go to the Super Bowl once, and he...
Jordan,
well.
He went to his resume deeper than Brock Purdy's.
I think Jared Goff's very good.
Right.
But I'm making fun because he doesn't seem to fit your ideals of this is a great quarterback.
He's a good quarterback.
Okay.
He's good. Just like Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. He's not elite. Those guys aren't elite. Lamar Jackson, elite. Patrick Mahomes, elite. Josh Allen, elite.
If Brock Purdy wins a Super Bowl, he'll be elite.
He'll be Trent Dilfer. Yeah, that's right. He'll be trained.
No.
Oh, I love it, man. Yeah. That's the gift that keeps on giving, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know how good that Ravens defense was that won the Super Bowl for Trent Dilfer.
Yes.
This 49er defense,
it's not the Ravens. It's not that. But look at them skill position players. I'm telling you. Man, people, I tell you what. This is why I say Brock Purdy is the most polarizing. As soon as I mention the word Brock Purdy, oh, I forgot Draper is a hater. Like, right. It elicits such a reaction out of people. It's
I don't
crazy.
Know if Brock Purdy's the most polarizing figure in the league, but he's the most polarizing figure on this show, and that's because, how do I put this? You!
I'm not just one. Me, Ryan Clark, whoever you know.
Oh, yeah.
All of us.
Yeah. He's got a lot to answer for this week, Brock Purdy. A lot of questions. They're all legitimate based on the way he played last week. Where the simplest throws that he's made, one thing he could always do is complete that, you know, 8 yard and in the mid range pass. And last week, what happened to Brock? I guess it was the water.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything to be concerned about, but the questions are fair. I'll give you that. They're very fair this
week.
The
jury is still out on Brock Purdy in my eyes. He still can.
You're never going to. He could win 3 straight Super Bowls and you'd say, it's a defense.
And see, this is what I hate about this conversation, Whitey. You're putting it on me. I didn't start this Brock Purdy hate. It was, you know, you guys comparing him to Joe Montana. It was comparing him to Tom Brady.
You were anti-Brock before I ever compared him to Joe Montana.
That's because I was an Eagles fan. So I was, you know, because here's the thing. Because I spent all offseason listening to Niners fans. Well, if we would have had Brock, we would have beat the Eagles. Well, we knocked him out of the game. We kicked him out. We injured him. We hurt him. That's why you lost the game. It wasn't like he just had some phantom hangnail and couldn't play. His butt got knocked out of the game. And now... And mind you, and I keep going back to the numbers, the Jimmy G hate and the Brock Purdy love. And I know Nate's back there rolling his eyes right now.
I like Jimmy G, but Brock Purdy's way better than Jimmy G.
Not even close.
When CMC was here, Jimmy G, 70% completion percentage, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception. Jimmy G looked better than he had in the previous 3 or 4 years. When CMC came on board.
Yeah. Was so that 3 games?
Nah, it was like 5 games or something like that. Come on, man.
I don't even know. Got him at the deadline, and then he was gone by like week 8 or 9.
The numbers don't lie, Nate. The numbers don't lie. 9
you
touchdowns.
You hate numbers. That's your whole thing. You hate numbers, Drapes.
I'm just saying. You're all about eye test. Eye test. The eye test tells me Brock Purdy light years better than James Richard Garoppolo.
You guys like
Jimmy G.
Because I said I didn't want to talk about Jimmy G ever again. At least until you guys keep bringing me back into this argument here.
All right.
He's
a good quarterback. Let's talk about future Kings Olympian De'Aaron Fox. Met with the media today. I believe this is something that he's known about for a while. I have reason to believe this is something that's been in the works for a while, and it hasn't been announced till today. 41 players named as candidates to make the Summer Olympic basketball
team. Can I ask how many make the team? Is it 15?
That's a good question.
I don't think it's 15. I think it's 12.
12?
Oh, it's less.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's 12, mm-hmm.
So De'Aaron Fox speaking with the media today on why he's so excited and so proud.
I mean, it's an honor to be able to represent my country. I mean, I talked to Grant a little bit, so... I was already in the loop, and obviously I want to continue to focus on what we're doing right now, but it's definitely an honor to be able to be mentioned with a lot of those players who have already won gold medals.
Being a part of that before, does this feel like it might come at a better time in your career?
Definitely, and obviously FIBA is a bit different for the U.S. than it is, you know, viewed around the world, but just being able to be in that contention, to be in the Olympics, which is something that... obviously, America takes a lot more seriously than other things. It's definitely an honor for sure.
Obviously, the NBA is a goal growing up, but do you kind of think about the Olympic team and playing on that level as a kid too?
Yeah, definitely. For us, you know, people my age, being able to watch the Redeem team definitely has definitely puts memories in your head. And for me, obviously, the way that like someone like Melo played in the Olympics and what he did, I think are lasting memories. So being able to be in that position is definitely an honor and a blessing.
All right, Kyle. I feel kind of like USA Basketball's kind of dangling this carrot for us. Oh, Sacramento, look. And I'm not sure how realistic De'Aaron Fox's chances are of making the team. I don't think it's based on how they play. You tell me, what do you think? What goes into, ultimately, who's on this team? Does De'Aaron Fox have a legitimate chance? And I'm not saying he's not good enough, but what are the real criteria here?
I don't know the real criteria, but based on what I've seen from the team, A, you got to be one of the hot guys around the league, one of the it guys. You know, you look at, so for instance, a guy like Devin Booker. I think he's an it guy around the league, a guy that people say, ooh, he's nice, you know, and it's universally accepted. Whatever city you go to, Devin Booker is a name going in there. But I also look at the back end of the rotation. JaVale McGee was an Olympian. He's not an it guy, but he was a solid role player. And so I think there's a combination of it guys, all-stars, and then role players. It used to be the 12 best players, ideally, in the league.
Kerr's still the coach, right? Steve Kerr.
Yes, Steve Kerr's still the coach after a...
De'Aaron is not going to be on the team.
You don't think so?
I don't. I hope so.
Steph Curry is. Yeah. Maybe Steph has some pool, some
maybe,
sway.
Maybe.
You know,
yeah,
those
that's
guys
part of it
business.
Too, right? All that. Yeah.
I think that's it's popularity. It's how you're going to fit in. The issue I have with De'Aaron making it is that I don't know if he's part of the it crowd. You know, think about it. If we go down the list right now, if LeBron wants to be there, he's there. Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Donovan Mitchell. I mean, we could go down the list. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. Like, we can go down the list. And I think De'Aaron would be deserving, of course. You're arguing one of the top five guards, point guards in the NBA, in my opinion, and De'Aaron Fox. But it's almost like a popularity contest to an extent.
I know what you mean. That'd be one of the cool kids.
Yeah, like, are you? Yeah, exactly. So if De'Aaron Fox walks in the lunchroom, is he sitting at the table with LeBron, Steph? You know, but I think De'Aaron Fox, when you look at it, he can become the next wave of it guys, the Tatums. The Bam Adebayos, those are his boys. He's tight with them. De'Aaron Fox. And so I think he might be on the next wave. He might be right on the cusp, but maybe on the next wave.
It is still an honor, obviously, to make this list. What I'd love to see, De'Aaron Fox as a U.S. Olympian, and then when the Olympic team wins from the Washington Monument, we have a red, white, and blue beam that we shoot into the sky, right? Wouldn't that be great?
That would be awesome, right?
USA. Right? USA.
Or like, just get a purple flashlight, De'Aaron, or something like that. Wait a minute. I'd even take that. But
All right.
He would well represent the city of Sacramento.
Yes. De'Aaron Fox also addressed whatever's been going on with the media. Hear what he had to say about that when we come back. Also, everybody thinks this guy'd be a great fit for the Kings. Mm. But ain't that too much to give up for him? We have Today in Trade Talk coming up with the Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
There's a very lively debate raging on our YouTube chat. People with various Kings trade ideas and what needs to be done and who they should give up to get this guy, that guy. So a lot of excitement here with the second half of the season already underway. Also just a lot of angst right now because it was Kyle Draper himself who said, and I agree, the Kings season hangs in the balance on this road trip.
Is that overstating it? Is that being
too
dramatic?
I don't think it is. We don't know. You know, you never know what's going to happen. But I think that's reasonable. I think that certainly could be the case.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and I've said it, 5-2 versus 2-5. Like, you literally can go a number of different ways with this season. I think when you're looking at the Kings right now, they have not played their best basketball. They've lost 4 out of their last 5 games. Sure, they're coming off a win against Atlanta. But I feel like this season is fragile right now. It could go either way. You can catapult yourself back into a top 5 spot, or you could slip further. You're 7th right now. You could be 10th. And so those are two big differences.
Yeah.
You know, you catapult yourself, then you're in the mix for an actual playoff spot and not a play-in spot. And we went through the schedule, man. This month of February is extremely tough. Denver a couple of times. You got the Clippers, OKC. Like, you have a really difficult schedule in the month of February. And so I think they need to start playing their best basketball right now. And I think this road trip, there are some winnable games, no doubt about it. When you look at this road trip, you got Golden State. You're ahead of them in the standings. You're better than them in the standings. You got Dallas, who's going to be missing Kyrie Irving tonight. We'll see if he plays
this
week.
They're right
behind you. Yeah, you got a one game advantage in the loss column over them. Then you got a Memphis team that you should beat. You're better than Memphis, but then you got the gauntlet. Then things, in my opinion, really get tough. Miami, tough, hard nosed team. Indiana, we saw what they did to you. Couple weeks ago at home.
That'll be a real good test to see where the Kings are, to see how they respond.
That's a big one. Chicago, who's actually playing halfway decent basketball. They're in a play-in situation, 21-24. Cleveland, who's playing some excellent. They've won 8 in a row, the Cleveland Cavaliers. So that's what I'm saying. This road trip can really make or break your season. I take 4-3. I'd be happy with 4-3.
Oh, yeah.
3-4, I don't like it as much, but I'd be happy with 4-3 on this trip. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah, combination of the Kings having a really challenging road trip coming up right at a time when they seem very vulnerable.
Right.
And it seems like there are things that aren't going the way they should be going. For example, we've had something going on with De'Aaron Fox. He hasn't been talking to members of the media. Does that have anything to do with the fact that he hasn't been playing very well? Probably not. We don't know for sure. But today, De'Aaron Fox spoke to the media about the way the team has been playing and about the fact that he hasn't been speaking to the media.
De'Aaron, you've always been really good with us in the media. Was your recent media silence frustration with the media directly?
No.
No. Was it? And if you don't mind me trying to pinpoint it, was there miscommunication? No. You just don't want to comment at all?
Nah.
Okay.
De'Aaron, with the trait.
Yeah. Okay. So a player who is upset with the media is typically going to at some point say, it's this guy did this, or somebody said that, or whatever. I know we went over this. I don't think, and I don't know anybody who thinks that it was about the Sacramento media or something that was written or said.
I don't think, because the Sacramento media has been hard on him. I will say, this whole notion that he needs to be front and center after every game, would I like that? Would I like to hear from De'Aaron every game? Yeah, because he's the guy most people are interested in. We had Keon Ellis on after a loss. I forget which, no offense to Keon, but people, he doesn't move the needle.
Right.
Like when Keon says, doesn't have as much
one of those games, they lost by a lot. But I understood that because Keon Ellis was one of the few guys who had a good game.
Yeah,
He was like, whoa, why is he out there? I was like, well,
He played well.
If I could add, I know that part of it was only Keon was sent out. And we're talking, this happened with the Celtics early on. Drapes,
right,
I'm sure you remember that game.
Yeah, of course.
And then the Pelicans, the blowout, the 50-point game, they send out, usually for people who don't know, they send out two players and then Mike Brown.
Yeah.
For that Pelicans game, they send out just Keon, who on the surface level is, halfway part of the team, right? He's a two-way guy. And then no other player and then Mike Brown.
But here's the thing, and this is what upsets me about this discussion, Nate. The podium is one thing, but you know as well as I do, and Whitey knows, after the podium, the cameras can break down and go right into the locker room and see if De'Aaron wants to talk. They could go right into the locker room and see if Domantas Sabonis wants to talk. So this whole notion that they got to parade him out there, go in the locker. All right, you want De'Aaron? Just go in the locker.
Can I counter? Do you know what Jason Anderson said? I believe was on your show.
He was, wasn't it? There was that whatever road game that was. He was the only one allowed in. So some of those rules have changed since COVID.
De'Aaron wouldn't. Oh, there's that rule, but he tried to speak with De'Aaron. De'Aaron waved him off. De'Aaron wouldn't talk to him after Jason waited an extended amount of time.
And I think Jason was the only one in.
I believe I believe him.
But that was on the road, though, too.
Yeah?
Jason was the only reporter on the road. Like, nobody else goes in the locker room. Nobody else from Sacramento is out there. Me and Katie, we don't go in the locker room. But I will say this. Let me ask you this, though. Are we allowed to give our players some grace? Are the players allowed to have a bad day? Are the players allowed to say, you know what? I'm not in the right frame of mind mentally and emotionally, so I don't want to talk today. I'm just asking.
There are rules. I mean, just forget opinion. There are rules. There are obligations. Players have obligations to talk to the media. We know that they don't always, and I'm not just talking about De'Aaron Fox, they don't always meet those obligations. So, you know, there's some wiggle room there. I'm still not sure why this was such a big deal. I suspect that it became all of a sudden kind of an indictment of some of the Kings' better players and a lack of leadership, which is, to me, it's kind of a stretch. And I think on some level, De'Aaron Fox probably didn't appreciate that. And maybe he didn't blame the media. Maybe right. He blames somebody else for allowing it to get to that point. But I think that's what we had. I think he was like, what is that about?
Yeah. And here's the thing. And I'm looking at these yahoos on YouTube saying, Drape's always off base. Royce says Fox had 4 games now. Face the music like a man, Draper. But here's the thing. We're talking about 2 separate things. We're talking about after 1 game against the Pelicans, or 1 game against the Celtics, now everybody want to say, oh, where's De'Aaron Fox at? He should be answering questions. Just walk in the locker room. At home, that locker room is open to a lot of people.
Okay.
That locker room is, if Sean Cunningham can get in there, Kevin John can get in there, James Hamm can get in there.
No, I'm with you on that. I agree with you.
Jason Anderson can get in there. And so don't give me this narrative, oh, I need to see him at the podium. The reason why Steph Curry is at the podium every night, you want to know why the reason Steph Curry's at the podium every night? Because the Golden State Warriors have so much media and so many media, you can't get him around his locker. Is LeBron James at the podium every night? Rarely. I see LeBron in the locker room all the time. And so this whole narrative, if he's not on the podium, there's something wrong with that. Take your darn butt in the locker room and go ask De'Aaron Fox yourself. And then if he turns you down, then you can write about that. But don't just because you watch the postgame show, you don't see him up there, and Keon Ellis is the first person that gets on the show, that, like, when it comes to postgame, and I'll tell you, we run who's ever first. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Now, if we had an hour postgame, hour and a half, you might get De'Aaron Fox postgame sound. But we only got a half-hour show. And like I said, for some media members to be like, why isn't De'Aaron at the podium, when all you got to do is go out there, turn right, and walk 20 yards to the locker room to get him, that's disingenuous in my opinion.
I think this whole thing has been made a much bigger deal than it ever needed to be, and I bet you that's part of his frustration as well.
And real quick, Whitey, and that's what I'm saying to people. We're talking 2 different issues here. We're talking about after a game versus 4 or 5 games in a row. Should he have spoken? Yes. The face of the franchise in no way should go 4 games without talking to the media. But the thing, this got blown up because he didn't talk after the Pelicans lost.
The other thing is, and you've been to many of these, me personally, I'm not sitting there going, well, where was Domas or Fox? If all they're going to do is come out and go, yeah, we need to play better. We didn't play well. We need to play better. That doesn't help anything.
Right.
I think part of it, though, is putting that pressure on Keon, a guy who's, you know, it's kind of being a bad teammate, right? Like,
if you saw
he's
it.
He's part of the team. And if he's ready,
he's good.
He played a good game.
Yeah.
As the organization.
Well, why not HB? Like, why not?
No, because HB for years has been the guy. HB was always the guy. After win or loss, he was always the first guy.
So
out.
Why not now?
Because what if he's not ready? Like, you don't understand the machinations behind the scene. Now, they send out who's ready first. If you have a good game and you're ready, go out there and talk. De'Aaron Fox, for the first several years of his career, was always the last guy. Shower, massage. We'd be waiting around an hour and a half for De'Aaron Fox. I hear you. You want to hear from him every game. The face of the franchise. I get it. But let's not, just because he didn't show up to the podium. Same thing was said about Domas, but Domas talked in the locker room. What's the difference there? Tell me the difference. What's the difference in your opinion?
There's no difference there.
Exactly. Between the locker room?
Locker room and podium. Does it matter where they talk?
No, it doesn't. And part of it is on the media, too. Part of it is on the media to do their job and go up and ask these questions,
and sometimes
right?
a player's not going to volunteer to go to the podium. Sometimes if a player isn't asked, that's what I suspect is something like, I didn't even know they wanted me out there. Why is it a big thing? No one even asked me to go out there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry, I know you're trying to go to break, but like maybe a leader.
My producer says I got to go to break.
Just hypothetically, like, I don't know, maybe more of a leader, like you're talking about LeBron talking all the time. Maybe he goes, hey, Keon, take a seat. Let me go up and I'll handle this. I know it was tough, and I'm our face. I'll do this. So I'm not trying to stir anything. I don't know what to me, I
understand what you're saying. To me, that's like, that's not a thing. But I understand where you're going. And it didn't seem to be an issue with Keon.
Right.
No. I mean, he's great. So.
Yeah. We have perhaps an answer to the Kings' defensive woes. We've all agreed this guy. We actually have a couple players to talk about. Trade talk today when we come right back here with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Drive Guys, powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Welcome to Trade Talk today. We are your hosts, Kyle Draper, Kevin Whitey Gleason. This show continuing here until February 8th, maybe beyond. It's obviously a ratings winner here. Trade Talk today. Here's what we have today, Kyle Draper. We have a couple of names, one we talked about already. Couple of guys that I think would be good fits for the Kings, and we have an idea now what, according to their teams, it would cost to acquire them. Let's start with a guy that we already talked about, Bruce Brown. Do the Denver Nuggets win the championship last year without Bruce Brown? I don't think so.
Yep, probably not.
The Raptors have posted an initial price point, whatever the hell that means, of a first-round selection for Bruce Brown, according to sources. That seems pretty reasonable to me.
Yeah.
A first-round selection for Bruce Brown. His contract is a two-year, $45 million balloon payment with a team option for next year. And that's a little pricey, so that's all up front, the way I read that. It's like a lot of money up front. Milwaukee is considered a possibility. If you're the Kings, I don't know that he would fit. I think there's other guys I would rather have, but that seems reasonable.
I think so, too, because you need a 3-and-D guy. You need a guy that can provide some toughness, provide some energy off the bench. And we've talked about Mike Brown shortening the rotation, especially when it comes to the backcourt. This guy has championship pedigree, championship experience, can knock down the three, can defend, high-energy player. I think a first-rounder, I would lottery protect it, of course, just to be safe. But it would be something I'd be interested in.
How about this guy? And the Kings figure to see him on the upcoming road trip. Alex Caruso.
What's the price for him?
I think we've all said, I think you and I have both said we like him, right? Chicago has indicated, and that to this point, they haven't even talked about it. So maybe they're playing it cool. They say they even consider parting with Caruso. The Bulls say they would need multiple first-round picks for Alex Caruso. That price could come down. It's just significant that they're now even acknowledging the possibility. That's, again, if the Chicago Bulls even consider moving him because they're playing better. I like Alex Caruso.
Multiple
first-rounders.
Out on Caruso.
Yeah, at that price.
I'm with you on that. Too much. Too expensive. Too rich for my blood. Two first-round picks for Alex. Good player. Can help you win. But Alex Caruso is getting the two first round. There's no way. No, I wouldn't do that either.
If it was like a first and maybe a second or a first and a lesser player, I might be talking two seconds even.
Yeah. That's a lot. Because where does Caruso fit for you?
He's coming off the bench for me.
No way you're giving up two first rounders for a bench guy, right? No way. I'm with you 100% on that.
Yeah. Maybe if I was really close to winning a championship, maybe I'd consider it. But even then. Yeah. So, but again, as I say, I think the significance there, pardon me, is that at least the Bulls are acknowledging, maybe we would part ways with him. So that's something.
Well, the Bulls are in an interesting situation because we talked about earlier. They're in the play-in tournament right now. They're the 9 seed right now. But they have assets that people want, specifically Alex Caruso.
Yeah.
And so they're sort of in that middle range, that like mediocre, good but not good enough, bad but not bad enough. And so if you do trade Caruso, to me, that signals a fire sale. Why wouldn't you trade Vucevic? Why wouldn't you trade DeMar DeRozan? Zach LaVine.
They're trying to trade Zach LaVine.
Right, nobody wants him, right? His contract is scaring a lot of people off.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're Chicago, if you do trade one of the, like, to me, that indicates a fire sale and them looking to bottom out, maybe become the next OKC or something like that.
to me, I think we've already talked about this, danced around it.
Yeah.
If there were a way to get Jeremy Grant and Thybulle from Portland, and I don't know, maybe that would cost a lot, just, I mean, financially. Yeah. Because Thybulle has recently signed a new deal as well, right? I don't know if that works, but if it does, that's the one I would pick.
That's going to take some multiple first-round picks.
Yeah.
And some players as well.
And a lot of money down the road, and I'm committing to Jeremy Grant.
This is your team now.
Yeah.
This is your core right here. How many first-round picks? Let's talk about a package. We know the players that probably would be involved. Three first-round picks?
I'd consider three. I'd hope I could get two and some seconds, but I probably couldn't, right?
Probably could. I mean, I just think the problem is the competition is going to be fierce. Mm-hmm. No matter whether it's for Caruso, whether for Grant and Thybulle, like, there's going to be competition out there. And so you may have to overpay.
Yeah.
And if you're Sacramento, look at you.
Yeah, you're right.
You may
you're
have right. to do that, Whitey. Uh-huh. You may have to.
Three
to
would be
build.
Like the starting point, huh? Three
I think would be. So, like, Jeremy Grant's a really good player. Matisse Thybulle is a really good player. At least two first rounders,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they could change my whole sense of what my team is.
Yeah.
I could maybe start to become the team that Mike Brown has been begging his team to become. You
right,
know, be more realistic
guys,
with those guys. Yeah.
Physicality.
Yeah.
All that, you know, and I think Matisse Thybulle's fantastic. Let me ask you this, though. Would you just take Matisse Thybulle? By himself? You might
if
be able
I didn't
to
have
get
to give up much only because I think he's good. But one guy, I think, to bring in just him.
Does it move the needle enough
I don't think
for you?
He would, I don't think he's good enough to really improve me that much. And that's no knock on him, but you know, he's coming off the bench as well.
I think what we have to, you know, think about, though, when you look at the Kings is.
And by the way, remember, both those guys are on Portland, and they're terrible.
They're terrible. But there's not a magic pill.
Right.
It's not a one person, you swallow this pill, and all of a sudden, I think it might be a series of moves. And it may not even happen this trade deadline. It may be do something now at the deadline, then do a little more in the offseason. And so I don't know if Thybulle and Grant going that big of a splash is going to happen this trade deadline.
Yeah, I understand that. Here's another thing from the Soulshine Band. Grant's contract puts us in jeopardy of not being able to re-sign Monk. So I'd say no.
I don't think that's 100% true.
Because you have his bird rights?
I think you have his partial bird rights, like early
Monk,
bird
so
rights.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think so. And so I don't think that that's 100% correct. Or you could do the short-term deal, 2 years, I think it is. And so I think what Grant's contract does, and I've been told, and I said this before, I don't think the luxury tax is going to scare this group off.
I hope not.
Like, you know, I think they are in it to win it. They want to put a winning product on the floor. And so that was one of my concerns earlier this year. Oh, well, are we really going to spend that kind of money and to try and compete with some of these other upper echelon high spending teams? You know, I think this team, this organization is trying to go for it, put in a winner right now.
Here's kind of a fun one just to cleanse the palate from Johnny Pietrosa. He wants Thybulle and Chris Murray.
Why are we so high on Chris Murray?
You know why. Because he looks just like his brother.
What is Chris
and his
Murray
brother's really
show?
Good.
And Chris Murray's my guy. His family. I love the Murray family. But, I mean, what are we doing? If his name was Chris Jones, would we want him?
No.
No, probably not.
No, certainly not.
Right.
All right. That's Today in Trade Talk for today.
All right.
I feel like we're getting somewhere, and I still have the utmost confidence that if there's any deal to be made, Monty McNair is going to make it. Right, Kyle?
Something has to get done. He sees everything we see. I firmly believe the Kings will make a move.
Coming up next, why do NFL TV ratings keep going up and up and up and up and up and up? And the 49er with the most approved Sunday, it ain't Brock Purdy. That's next. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
The NFL's leading rusher plays here.
The handoff to McCaffrey walks in the end zone. Handoff to McCaffrey takes it right down to the goal line. He does his thing again.
McCaffrey goes in motion right. Backwards pass led by Juszczyk. A block there.
Hurdles a man. 10-5. Touchdown! CMC!
You can hear Capture all of Christian McCaffrey's touchdowns on your home for 49ers football. Sactown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.